Hallelujah. They're recording it, son. Thank you. 2 Timothy. Shh. Hallelujah. Praise God. As we're building a foundation here today, this is Pentecost Sunday. And, you know, the Bible says, hey, Pentecost is the Old Testament was just a foreshadow of what took place in Acts chapter 2. That was the fulfillment. I want you to understand that God never says oops. God doesn't do something because Satan did this, so God comes up with a different plan. God had a plan from the very beginning. Amen. And what God wants us to do is God wants us to get into his plan. Amen. So if you look with me in 2 Timothy, and I need to get there, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 8, the Word of God says this. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his servant or his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That word purpose comes from the Greek word prophetes. It's spelled P-R-O-P-H-E-T-E-S, but it's pronounced prophetes. And prophetes is a proposal or a plan. God proposed and came up with a proposal and a plan. So turn with me to our text today in Romans chapter 8. I want you to understand something, that God called you with a purpose. He called you on purpose, and he called you for purpose. Amen? In other words, what we're understanding and what God wants us to have revelation and understanding as we're looking at this text today, that this is a proposal, that God had a preordained proposal, that he had a preordained plan before the world was ever created. God already had the plan. Hallelujah. So look with me in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And the Word of God says, And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that who are called according to his purpose. Here's the proposal. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Before you were ever formed in your mom's womb, the Lord knew you by name. To predestinate means to predetermine by answering the proposal. Listen to me. To be conformed. This word conform comes from the Greek word somorphos, means to be fashioned alike. To be fashioned alike, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them also he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The title of this morning's message is His Purposed Plan. His purpose plan. And we're going to look at the call, the justification, and the glorification. Call, justify, glorify. Are you with me? Amen. Can we lift our words together and make a declaration together here today? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, your servant. I'm listening. My ears are open, and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, we're so grateful for that you sent this word here to accomplish what you sent it to do in this house today. So, Father, I just release it all to you. Lord, I pray that I get out of your way. Speak through me today, Father God. May the word spoken come forth with power, with authority, and may it accomplish everything that you sent it to this house to do. And we'll never cease to give you all glory, honor, and praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You know, it's kind of amazing, you know. You know, I have all these prayers and I have all these desires, and I'll just tell you straight forward, nothing happened like I thought would happen yet today. I'm just being real, you know. I have such a heart of expectation. I'm expecting God just to move in such a marvelous and wonderful way. You know, I'm tired of the same old thing. I'm doing the same old thing over and over and over and expecting a different outcome. You know, I think God's getting ready to do something in our midst, but the only thing that's holding them back is you and I. Amen? When Jesus said it is finished on the cross of Calvary, it was done, it was complete, and all God's wanting us to do is enter into something that's already been done. Amen? And in other words, we can't create this, it's already been created. The Creator created a plan. Amen? Are you with me? So we're going to look at the call, the proposal. So we're going to look at the call first. Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, verse number 11. The word of God says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? In other words, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Amen? God's desire is for all. Oh, to come to the saving knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. Look at me in 2 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse number 9. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. In other words, God's got a proposal. God's got a call. He's predestined, pre-purposed, a plan for everyone that's gathered in the room. And when you have a proposal, for example, she's not in here, but 40 years ago, I proposed to Jackie. I asked her to be my wife. And she said, yes, and then something was consummated. Amen? And what God wants us to understand, he has predestined us according to the call, according to the proposal that he's making us. In other words, he's given us a proposal. Amen? I don't know if you're in business and you're going to do a job. You fill out, you make a proposal. and the person accepts the proposal, then you do the job and you have a consummation. You have a contract. Amen? So it's a, there's an offer and acceptance. Okay? And God's offer is the same. He is the same. He doesn't change. It's the same it was in the beginning. But praise God that he's given you and I the abundance of grace. Turn with me to Matthew 22 and let's look at what Jesus illustrates this in Matthew 22. So turn me to Matthew 22. The verse number 2 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up that city." Now that was to the Jewish nation. Now the door is opened up for you and I in this parable. And verse number 8, "Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw that there was a man with which had not on a wedding garment." In other words, he hadn't put his trust in Christ. He didn't have the robe of righteousness. He wasn't covered with Jesus' blood. "And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." In other words, many are called, many are given the proposal, but few are chosen that answer the call. In other words, when somebody rings your phone, unless you answer, you're not answering the call. In other words, God has called us. He has predetermined, he has predestinated us to be sons and women of God, sons and daughters of God. Amen. And he's given you and I a proposal. And God has his way. He ain't going to change his way. In other words, I'm going to have to adjust to him, not him adjust to me. So turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 3. He says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue." That word virtue comes from the Greek word arete, and it means excellence. You know, praise. In other words, God gave us a proposal, and he says that everyone that's in the room, when we answer the call, then he says, "For whom he calls, them he also justifies." Amen? And that word justify means to be found innocent. In other words, when I answer the divine proposal and I answer that call, all of a sudden, I am justified. I'm found innocent. Look with me in Romans chapter 5. Verse number 1. The Word of God says, "Therefore, being justified, found innocent by faith." By faith. What's my faith? My faith was answering the call, the proposal that God placed on me and on your life to accept Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. All of a sudden, when I accepted that call, he justified me by my faith in Jesus, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Amen. In other words, when you give your heart to Jesus and you ask Jesus to forgive your sins, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, and the adversary tries to remind you of your past, you have to remind yourself who he called, he also justified. He rendered innocent. Amen. 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 In other words, we've got to let the past go if we're going to live in today. We can't ever have what God has for us today if we're still living in history. Amen. In other words, God wants us to know that he has a preordained plan in our life. He has a purpose in every heart and every life of every last one in the room. And then when you answered that call, you said, "Yes, Jesus, I'll receive you as my Lord and Savior." He said, at that moment, your sins was removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. He rendered you innocent. Amen. You don't carry no guilt of your past. Amen. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 9. The Word of God says this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous..." Who are the unrighteous? Those that have not answered the call, and like that one that was at the wedding that didn't have on the garment. Right? "My righteousness is like filthy rags. I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I have his robe of righteousness." That's what the king was looking at. That's what he was seeing. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" In other words, if I don't have Jesus and I haven't made him my Savior and my Lord, I will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no other way to get there but through Jesus. Amen. Well, you say, "Pastor, I already know that. Why are you telling me that?" You know, the reason I'm telling you that, we know that, but half the time we're not acting like it. Hello? There's one thing to know something. There's another thing to have it inside of you and acting it out.
That's right.
Amen? He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were..." Underline "were" in your Bible. "Were" speaks of past tense. It doesn't speak of present. "But such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." Amen. You know, golly day, guys, we got the Holy Ghost. We got the Spirit of God that's inside of us. Amen. Amen. Stop listening to everything you hear in the world and start listening from the inside. Amen. We're not going to win this world by fighting with this world. We're going to win this world by loving them through Christ Jesus that strengthens you and I. Amen. You know, I hear all these things that are taking place in our world, and transgender bathrooms and whatever. As far as I'm concerned, they have three bathrooms, men's, women's, and others. You know, I mean, how hard would it be for the school to build a third bathroom? Listen to me. I'm not condemning anyone. God loves every homosexual. He loves every fornicator. He loves every adulterer. He loves every liar. He loves every stealer. He loves them. He hates the sin. We're not battling with people. We can't put faces on it. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We're wrestling with darkness. And I want you to know that darkness is raising his ugly head. And somewhere along the line, the church has got to arise. Come on. Come on. If we just keep taking it. In other words, you and I as the body of Christ, we arise not to condemn people. You know what I see? You know what I see we need? I think we need a Christian school right there for our children. That was part of the vision. Amen. We don't have to let the government determine what's going to happen to our children. We're the body of Christ. We're to take care of our own. Hallelujah. That's what God's called us to do. We're in this world. We're not of this world. There's something a little different about us. Amen. We're not walking like we used to walk. We're not talking like we used to talk. We're not acting like we used to act. You know, there's something that took place. There was something that was birthed in us. Amen. And all of a sudden, now it's time for God to arise in us. Amen. We could do a lot of things for the kingdom of God if we just come in unity together. What was the Holy Ghost about? They were all together in unity in one accord. They were looking at what they had different with one another. They were expecting something from God. You know, and God has given us everything that we can be successful. Amen. We're all called with a foreordained plan. We're called, we've been justified. You know, I love that word justified. I love that God found me innocent. Hallelujah. And he finds you innocent. How? Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3 verse number 5. He says this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hey, come on now. He's renewing something inside. He wants to get something inside of our spirits. Amen. Amen. We're not battling with the government here. We're not battling. You know, the Bible tells for you and I and this government and this world that we live in to render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's and render unto God's what is God's. I'm not coming up against the government. I'm not using this as a platform against the government. My battle is not with the government. My battle is with the government of darkness, not the government of the United States of America. Amen. My battle is with wickedness and darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're fighting the battle with. Amen. We can't put a face on it. He says that he shed that which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I'm an heir of God. Do you see that? Do you see who you are? According to my word, not only for eternity in heaven, but I'm going to reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. Almost 10 times our lifetime here. Amen? Amen? So when I look at things that come against me, I see them as only temporary. They're not eternal. They're only for a moment. They're only for a short period of time. And the problem is we magnify these things and we get stuck in them. We just need to magnify God a lot bigger than our situation, our circumstance. You see, who he's foreknown, he knew you before you were born in your mother's womb. He predestined or he predetermined with his proposal. And then he called you. And then he justified you. He rendered you innocent. And them who he's justified, what does he say? Them also he did what? He glorified. Amen. So look with me in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 13. Are you with me? Yeah. Jesus loves little children. Amen. Verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to our text of Romans 8. When Paul, before he leads into this, in verse number 18, Paul says this. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, I want you to understand, when you look at glory, Jesus said that we're to be glorified, that he's going to be glorified in us. Amen? And it's so important for us to understand what glory is. We think so many times the glory is the splendor and the presence and the brightness of his coming, and that's the glory of God. But that isn't what God was talking about when he's talking about the glory that's going to be in us. Turn with me to John chapter 17 and listen to what Jesus says as he explains to us the glory. In John 17, verse number 20, Jesus says this. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with thee, me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, and that they love, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. In other words, the world will see the glory of God when we learn to come in unity together as one in the body of Christ. What the world is seeing in the church is a bunch of hypocrites biting and chewing on one another, finding what's wrong with each other, downplaying one another, talking behind one another's back. And God said, that is not love. That is not love. Glory is seen when we accept one another and we become one. And when we become one in unity together, there is nothing that can stop us. There is nothing that can stop us. No weapon formed against this body will prosper. It cannot come when we come into unity. Amen? When we come into unity. That's why the adversary wants us to look what's different about one another. That's why he wants to constantly keep us in discord. Because the enemy knows once we come into unity, once we come as one, look out. Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost are three in one. And God said, by the Spirit of God, we can come together in unity and we can form as one. One body. One body. One body for the kingdom of God and for his glory. Amen. He says not only that, he says the glory that is revealed, it's revealed now. It's a present glory, but there's also a future glory. Amen? Amen? It's like when they start saying, Well, I don't know about those people. They seem to be doing everything together. They seem to be getting along. They're not talking about another each other. They're not fighting with one another. They're not bickering with one another. Amen. What's joining us together? The Spirit of God. Amen. He's the unifier. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Can we get it? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if we get a hold of this, look out. When we hear a news report, the first thing we think, the first thing that comes to our heart and mind is, our God's bigger than that. All of a sudden, what I hear and what I see is the body of Christ feeding the adversary with ammunition. The Facebook is covered with people, with churches and ministries just feeding the adversary, giving them ammunition. Amen? And in other words, we have to recognize that God's bigger than all of it. He says in 2 Corinthians, Lord, is this who I'm supposed to be speaking this to? Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul says this. He says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, when you're looking in the mirror, are you seeing the old man or are you seeing the new man? Are you seeing the old woman or are you seeing the new woman? In other words, there's a transformation that's taking place in your life. You're being transformed in the image of the Lord, and more you ought to see his image as you look in the glass. You know, matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, for our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, we're men and women that are walking in the Spirit of God. We're walking, we're in unity with the Father, we're in unity with one another in the body of Christ, and as we're walking in unity together, we're not seeing it as the world sees it. We're seeing it as the Father said. This is what my daddy said. And daddy says all the promises in him are yes and amen. God wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it. Amen? Anybody with me? We always say that actions speak louder than words. Amen? I am not surprised at one thing that's happening in our world. And if you have spent any time in God's Word, and in prayer, you shouldn't be surprised either. Because everything that's taking place in our world was already spoken to us. It's not a surprise. You know, God forewarned us that all these things were coming. But he said to you and I, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Amen. So look with me in 2 Timothy, and then I guess I'll shut this down. Second Timothy, chapter 2. Verse number 10. He says this, therefore, Paul said this to his student Timothy. He said, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we are dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he shall also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And what the Lord is simply saying to you and I in closing today is simply this. Who God foreknew, before you were ever in your mom's womb, he predestined you. It's not an accident that you're even here today. I believe that every word that is spoken is for a purpose. It's just not for the sake of talking. God wants you to understand that he's called you. He's called you by name. And when you answer that call, that you become justified. You become rendered innocent. And then whom he's justified, he's also glorified. In other words, without the Spirit of God and the Spirit of love, we really can't come into unity with one another. Because we're all different. We all have different personalities. We all have different makeups. And you know, I think it's kind of wonderful that God didn't create any of us alike. But each and every one of us are created after the image of God. The problem in this world that we live in, and really happens in schools so much, is children get bullied because of the way they look, or the way they dress, or maybe their size. But God created us in all different shapes, sizes, and forms, and we're all beautiful to God. God says that you're his masterpiece, that he created you after the image of his Son. And as we continue to know him, we become just like Jesus. You know, I'll never be perfect, but I serve someone that is. And I have someone inside of me, and you have someone inside of you that guides you and I. He's given us a helper, he's given an advocate, and he's given a friend. So in closing, can we just all stand together here today?